Well, just as much as any other threat, recognizing and avoiding scams has become a necessary skill for today's retirees to develop. So today, we're going to highlight some of the most common scams that are taking place right now, share some red flags, how to identify them, and of course, talk about how you can protect yourself with better cybersecurity practices. That's coming up next.
Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
Well, hello and welcome in to the Financial Flight Plan podcast. I'm Ben George with Bree Reyes. As always, she's an investor coach and certified financial planner at Estes Financial Services. And as always, Bree, it's great to talk to you.
Good morning, Ben. It's fabulous to talk with you too.
A lot of energy this morning. I like it. You're bringing it.
I'm trying, buddy. I'm trying. After the last one where I thought, I sounded like I was being carted off, you know, I'm going to try to do a little bit better today for our listeners.
I love it. I love it. What you been up to?
We had the annual Estes ski trip in February, which is kind of a fun thing. I say kind of, because anytime you pull an entire family together, it can go one way or the other way.
That's very true.
And usually one of us, at least one of us, meets ski patrol during the trip. This is the first year, knock on wood, in my office. Don't know if you can hear that. I knocked.
I did, yeah.
None of us had the pleasure of meeting ski patrol this time. Also, none of us skied to our absolute maxes this time. We were up there during some blizzard stuff. It was just it was a lot of powder, which wow. I have realized my legs don't do powder as well. It's just a mess. But we had a great, great time. It was my dad, Tim, who's also my business partner, my mom, my sister, one of my sisters, my nephew, my husband and I, and my in-laws and Nate. So we had 9 people total.
Yeah, big trip.
Yeah, it was a big trip. And wrangling 9 people on a big trip is fun. We also just kind of, you know, hey, most of you were adults, only 2 of you were children. Fend for yourselves.
Yeah, that's always good too.
Which also takes some of the pressure off. But we had a great, great trip. And so it's always nice to be back home now.
I love it. Always great to hear those updates. And I know you guys look forward to that trip every year. So I'm glad you're able to enjoy it. We have a good show today and an important one, Bree, because these financial scams, and we've probably touched on it from time to time before, but devoting a whole episode to this is so important because it's happening more and more. And as technology improves, these scams just follow right along and they evolve so quickly.
They do. And I will tell you, this has happened to clients of ours. A couple of the scams that we're going to talk to today I've seen one person get hit. I've seen one person almost get hit, and we were able to intervene. And so these types of things are happening more and more. And the problem is fraudsters have more technology. They know what to say. They know what our fears are. I mean, they've always known that. But we're also more afraid, I think.
Yeah.
I think just everybody today is living in a world where they have a little more fear. And so by playing on all those things, these fraudsters are able to just completely take advantage.
They are. So we're going to go through today, as I mentioned in the open, we're going to talk about some real life stories. Bree's going to share some of hers. We're going to talk about some from some articles we pulled. But better yet, we're going to help you identify these red flags that are out there, know what the signs are of a scam, and then also what can you do to protect yourself. So I want to start with the CNBC article we're going to drop in the show notes so you can read it for yourself. But it's just a great example of why we're highlighting this today and why it's so important for retirees, because a lot of Americans over 60 are getting targeted right now, Bree. But this story about the 77-year-old widow, which is heartbreaking in and of itself, over $600,000 scammed from this tech scam. She lost her entire life savings.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, she's not the first. She won't be the last. And this tech scam is the one that I'm hearing, the one that I personally tried to help one of our clients through, but she had already wired the money or transferred the money to Bitcoin. And this is the one that scares me the most, because here's how they get you, or here's how Ms. Bloom and someone I know were got. Ms. Bloom got a call that, hey, I'm helping out with the fraud department at their bank. And they knew the bank she worked for.
Yeah.
I mean, the phone call came from, it was a spoof, but came from the bank number. Mm-hmm. She thought she was talking to a fraud investigator at her bank. My client was on her computer and got one of those tech support, Microsoft, blue screens of death, scary, scary, scary thing pop up. And so she called the number thinking it was Microsoft.
Yeah.
Okay. And it shows up as Microsoft. It's, I mean, they're good. These people are good. And so the first thing at the investigate, in both cases, the first thing that they will do is start, they will all both have a sense of urgency. Any of these tech support scams, it's they want sense of urgency. Mm-hmm. We got to do this now. We got to do this now. And you're scared. You're terrified.
Right.
They were telling my client, well, they have control of your computer and they'll put child pornography on it and you'll get arrested or you'll go to jail. I mean, they are preying on your, the fact that we're good people, the fact that we don't really, you know, fully understand the system. And then the other thing they in both cases, secrecy. If you tell anybody, this is going to get worse. You yeah. cannot tell anyone. You can't tell your bank. You can't tell your children. You can't tell your financial advisor. You cannot tell anyone. And so when you go to draw money out of the bank, you're not drawing money out of the bank for whatever reason. You're drawing money out of the bank for you. You don't tell them why. And so the way a tech support scam usually works is criminals are persuading the victims that they have a serious computer issue, like a virus. This is exactly what happened to my client. And then masquerade as computer technicians from a well-known company to cover. And then it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And it's insane how much money is being lost in these tech support scams.
Yeah.
Last year alone, or $588 million in 2022 lost to a tech support scam. $588 million in 2022 alone. That's according to the FBI. And it's not like we don't have inflation. It's not like some of these people in both cases retired or on fixed incomes or trying to retire. And so it becomes a bigger and bigger problem. The way that they got my client is they showed her. Well, first it was the scratch-up cards. Will you go, the way you can cancel a transaction is to go buy a debit card from the same company, supposedly, and then send us all the information on the back of the debit card or the gift card. Sorry, I used the word debit card, but I meant gift card.
Right.
I think you guys know what I mean. So they had her driving all over North Texas buying gift cards. And so that was some of the money. And then after they got enough through the gift card, you need to put your money in crypto. And this goes back to my problem with crypto. Crypto is untrackable. We've talked about this several times on the podcast. It can't be taxed. It's not from any country. There's all kinds of issues. And now you can go, and my client ended up going to gas stations to convert money they took out of their bank account to crypto. And the bank tried to talk her out of it. But remember, she thought she was working with an investigator of the bank. And she was terrified. She thought the bank was in on it. And so you can go buy crypto at gas stations. And then what do? You take a picture of all the wallet and the code and you send it to them. And the money is gone at that point in time. And here's the sad thing. Once she called me, and it was a few days by the time I was notified of what was going on, we could file everything you could file with the FBI, Social Security Administration, because in her case, it was Social Security that was taken. I mean, that she, it was, we were trying every federal agency, the police, everybody, you know? And the sad thing is that unless it's over a certain amount, there's so many of these cases. It's not that they don't care. It's that they don't have the manpower to actually track anything down.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, it's a situation where it's terrifying. It's terrifying that unless your loss is over $250,000, that there's nobody that will help you. Mm-hmm. Now, I believe the police got involved on some of the gift card charges. They could kind of work on that a little bit, because yeah. they could see who used the gift card on the other side. But then I found there's a lot of websites where you can sell unwanted gift cards.
Right.
And so that's what they're doing. They're turning around and they're selling them. So then some unsuspecting schmuck thinks that they're getting a good deal on a Apple gift card, and all they've done is washed the money or cleaned the money for the thieves. And the bank asks the questions the bank was supposed to ask. But we can't stop people from having their own, getting their money. Mm-hmm. And this is just one cryptocurrency scam. If you look at the total losses from cryptocurrency scams in 2022, it was $1.1 billion. And that's just for people over age 60.
Yeah. We even take it a step further, Bree. All cyber fraud combined, over $3 billion for Americans over 60 in 2022. That's 1 year, over $3 billion. Scammed. That's, I mean, you would never even guess the number could be that large. And the feeling's got to be so hopeless. And the tough part is, as you kind of pointed out, it comes at every different angle, right? There's email and websites can get you.
They're texting her. I mean, it's insane.
It's almost impossible to watch out for, because it seems so authentic and genuine when you come across these things. So you got to be so careful with this, which is why we want to kind of talk a little bit more about it. And there's another article we'll drop in the show notes from Reuters that provides some details on the most common types of scams. Now, you pointed out the tech support scam.
The tech support scam is the one that scares me the most, because of the fact that this article I'm reading, the article that we have from CNBC that you kind of gave a synopsis of, is exactly what my client experienced. I mean, from the pop-up window, from everything moving on, except for the fact that I don't think she ended up buying the gift cards, but it's very, very, very similar to what my client experienced. And Ms. Bloom, client in the first story, actually sued her bank, by the way. Everybody should know this. She sued, and part of the case was dismissed because the bank followed procedures. The banks are in a very difficult position with this, because they cannot, I mean, it's your money. They can't keep you from your money. If you are willing to sign something saying you're taking your money out, you're taking your money out. And these lawsuits aren't often to be, I don't expect lawsuits like this to be successful.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough for the banks, and you gotta, it's on you as an individual. I mean, that's kind of how it comes, what it comes back to, right? And even though you were scammed, the bank was doing their job, providing that money that you asked for in your account. So it's tough. But these other ones that are on here too, Bree, I mean, I'm sure people listening have come across probably at least one, maybe multiple ones of these, because commonly, especially for retirees, IRS, Social Security, these types of
programs. Oh, the IRS letter.
Yeah.
Well, not the IRS letter, the IRS phone call. Yes. First of all, the IRS likes to send letters. So does the Social Security Administration and Medicare. They do not often call you from a random number. The biggest thing that you need to know is don't send cash. Don't send gift cards. Don't send cryptocurrency to someone who claims they are an investigator for the government, part of the government, part of the IRS, anything. Just don't. Because once those assets are gone, they're gone. There's no way to track. Also, don't give out financial information to anyone who calls, text messages, or emails claiming to be from the government. They've got enough information. Don't trust your caller ID anymore. Dad failed this one. Dad and I, Tim Estes and I rarely fight, but we got into a row in Mexico last year, spring break last year. We were down there visiting, and Dad got a phone call from our bank, the bank we all use personally. And on his caller ID, it showed up as the bank. And he started to talk to them. And he was giving them information that I thought was a little they should have.
Yeah.
And he was like, but no, it's the number. And I finally, it clicked. And the reason that Dad even fell for it, because Dad's really, really good, is my husband's credit card had just been hacked about it, not even 12 hours earlier. And so Dad was already on high alert for that type of thing. And he was already in the mindset of his card had been hacked. And so he thought the bank was calling to tell. And that's what the bank said. That's what the phone call said. Your card's been hacked. So don't trust your caller ID. Luckily, dad and mom are fine. We handled it. They're just, if anybody saw a man and a woman on the streets of PDC, Playa del Carmen, kind of looking crossways with each other, and that was us.
Yeah.
Also, don't click links in unexpected emails or text messages. If you don't know who the text message is from, don't click a link. If you don't know who the email is from, don't click a link. Even if you know who the email is from, but it looks weird, sounds weird, behaves weird, don't click the link. It's not worth it. It's not worth the financial devastation that could happen to your life. And that's the sad thing, is you have to approach everything with a is this too big to be true? Do the links look suspicious? Is it a weird email or a weird website it's leading us back to? Is somebody asking for personal information that they shouldn't be? Do they want just a small amount of money at first? See, that's what the debit, or that's what the gift cards were to my client. Mm-hmm. Those were small amounts to see how on the hook she was before they went for bigger amounts. This one, I hate saying it, but it's true. Are they using poor wording or grammatical errors? Does it sound like the person that you know? I've caught this in our firm. I've gotten phishing emails from clients, asking for money from their accounts. Didn't sound like them. I picked up the phone, called them. Hey, now I would never, we don't take instructions trust off email. We have to talk to all clients anyway, all the time. But I mean, not everybody follows our practices as well as they should. That's the Estes policy, because I've seen it happen. And anytime somebody's trying to blackmail you, extort you, tell you you're going to go to jail, pause. Pause. Wires, checks, cashier's checks, that needs to be raise awareness. No legitimate company is going to ask you to pay for something in gift cards. Don't do that. The other thing we're seeing is sweepstake scams. Now, these have been around for forever, I think. But, you know, hey, you're going to win. You've won a new car. You've won the lottery. You just have to tell us your bank information and we will wire all this money to you. Oh, but first, I need you to wire some money to cover processing fees and taxes. First of all, the prize company is not going to send, it's not going to send you the bill for the taxes. That's going to be Uncle Sam. The prize company should not be involved in the taxes at all. They don't know how much the taxes are going to be. Think about that. Yeah. Also, anytime, don't tell your family. Don't tell anyone. Phone scams are still big. When they call and they say, can you hear me? And you say yes. Now they have you saying yes recorded. So later on, they can use that yes to approve a major purchase off your credit card. Somebody calls me, says, can you hear me? I just hang up. That's what I do. I also don't answer calls that I don't know the number from. If they are important enough, they will leave a message and I can call them back. Calling people back is your best line of defense against anything. Like, for example, the street in Playa. If dad had just said, you know what? Not right now. We're on the street in Playa. Let me get back to my place. We'll give you a call. Would have ended the conversation. And that's what I was asking him to do, was end the conversation. He, though, knowing my husband had just been scammed, was in panic mode. And that, I get it. I could see it happening. Grandparent scams are huge right now. Grandma, I've been kidnapped. I am in jail. I've got a hospital bill. I am stuck in Spain. I don't, send me money. And that, it's always act quickly. Don't tell anybody. If you get a weird message from a member of your family, ask them questions that only the relative would know. Not the last four of their social, not their birth date, not the dog that's all over Instagram's name,
right,
that they have. Something that only they would know. And then, I'm seeing this one happen a lot more too. The romance scams. Brad Pitt. I met Brad Pitt online and, you know, he just needs a little money because he's between movies. So I sent him some cash. You are not sending Brad Pitt cash. He does not need money. He's good. So don't send or give money to someone you haven't met in person. Even if you're doing online dating, same thing. Somebody asked me for something when we're online dating and we haven't met in person. Nope. 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 Now, I don't online date anymore, but I did. before I met Joaquin. And so I've seen this. If somebody in your family is talking about a new love interest they met online, you need to dig into that. You need to pay attention to that. Because this is happening more and more, guys, and I'm worried about it. I'm worried. I'm terrified because I've seen it and I've seen how convincing it can be. And granted, I'm not young anymore. I used to be the young pup, but I'm not. And if it's convincing to me, it's super convincing to people who are less familiar with technology and maybe a little lonely and maybe a little unsure and scared.
Mm-hmm. I'm afraid to think what the scams will be when we're older, Bree, and technology is kind of passed us by a little bit because this changes so rapidly. I wonder how in-depth and intricate these things will be at that point. But
well, we're already seeing it with AI.
Oh, yeah.
We're already seeing it with AI. AI can make people take snippets of their conversations or snippets of their voice and make audio passwords available, even pictures. So there goes that. I mean, it's a great way to open your iPhone. So the best things you can do, though, you know, make strong passwords, change them, monitor your bank statements, look at your bank statements, look at your credit card transactions. I have all my credit accounts locked down. Is it a pain in the tuchus when I went and bought a new dining room table? Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. I had to get all that stuff turned off if I wanted a 0% APR for 24 months or whatever. But you know what? It's worth it to me. The safety is worth it. So I have my accounts frozen. Also, keep your antivirus software up to date on your computers. That'll help you with the tech support scam. Avoid public or unsecured Wi-Fi. Please don't go to a public or unsecured Wi-Fi. And what I mean by that is like when you're out at Dickies Arena for the rodeo here in Fort Worth, don't use the Dickies internet to go to your Frost Bank account and check your account. Just don't do it. And secure your phone with a passcode, fingerprint, and think about maybe consider enabling two-factor authorization. That helps too. And I get it. It's a pain when you're working through it sometimes, but temporary pain to protect yourself is worth it.
Mm-hmm. Some good things.
And if you think something's going on, the best thing you can do, call me. Right. Call our firm. Call someone. Call a trusted friend. Call your kids. And just say, this is feeling a little hinky. I don't care what the scammer says. The scammer's always going to say, keep quiet, make it a surprise. Da, 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 da. But call someone and explain the situation. They might see red flags you don't see.
Yeah, they can give you an unemotional take too, right? That's the biggest thing, because you're so tied up and invested in that conversation or whatever that scam is that they're able to step back and look at it from a different angle and tell you, okay, this maybe isn't what it seems to be, or yeah, you know this is something you should follow up on.
Right, exactly. And you're terrified, you're scared, you're in the midst of it. Get some help from outside, just a third party. And you know what? I don't want to do business with anybody who's going to tell me I can't talk to my husband, my kid, someone I trust.
Right.
Trust me, if it's big enough, if it's a real FBI investigation, they'll understand why I'm involved. They'll forgive you for calling somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing wrong with asking, is this legit? And having a third party take a look at it. It's not a bother to me. It shouldn't be a bother. It's not. Call. Talk with me. Before you do anything, talk with me.
SS Financial, you can find them online, ssfinancial.net, or if you want to call Bree and the team directly, 817-444-8402. Again, 817-444-8402. You guys also offer a tool, right, for people in this situation?
We do. We have we've got a report right now on some of these scams.
Okay.
That I really, really like everybody to know about. My only negative with the report is that calls it elder scams. And quite frankly, I think these are scams affecting everyone.
Yep.
It's not just an elder scam anymore. And this covers the grandparent scam, the sweetheart scam, or the online love interest scam. Also, Medicare and Social Security scams. And what to do if you think that you are in one of these situations. So if you want a copy of this report, give me a call or give our office a call, 817-444-8402. Once again, 817-444-8402. And remember, the thing about it, this is, I don't want anyone to feel defensive or embarrassed for what they've gone through. This happens. You have to almost be understanding, because it's amazing. These scammers are amazing. And I don't want anyone to feel ashamed. I don't want them to feel embarrassed. I don't want them to feel there's nobody out there that wants to help them. But we need to know. If you do this in secret and you hide in secret about it, we're never going to be able to know and be able to help.
Phone number 817-444-8402. Please don't hesitate to reach out if you have questions, if you have concerns, if you know someone that might be getting scammed, or if you come across something yourself. Again, 817-444-8402. All right, let's shift gears a little bit, Bree. Have a little bit of fun here on the show to close things out. I got a getting to know you question about movies. A lot of people getting back in the movie theater. I think Dune 2 is out right now, which has been a huge box office hit, I think, so far. But do you prefer to watch a movie in the theater, or do you prefer to stay at home and watch it there?
I prefer to stay at home. And I was not this way before COVID, but COVID really has spoiled me. I like watching movies at home. I like snuggling under a big blanket on the couch with Joaquin and Nate and Dolly and just being all together. I admit, movie theaters give me a little bit of anxiety. They have ever since a couple of movie theater shootings, mm-hmm. because I'm in the dark. There are not as many exits and the entrance and exit situation is always kind of a problem. A narrow area. We've seen what happens when someone brings a gun to a movie theater. And ever since then, I have had a bit of anxiety about being in a movie theater. Situational awareness. Just dad drilled it into me when I was a kid, and it's still there. And in a movie, I'm not necessarily... So I find in a movie theater, I'm spending more time watching the other patrons, making sure no one's getting up, no one's leaving, no one's coming in. And I'm not as able to get into the movie as I am at my own house. And you may call me paranoid. Don't worry about it. Other people have. It does not hurt my feelings. And it's something I'm working through in therapy. I'll tell you guys that. But it is... situational awareness is harder for me in a movie theater. I don't really like crowded spaces like that.
You're not alone, Brie. I mean, I feel that way too. I'm always, again, awareness is so critical now more than ever. And I'm the same way. I mean, I'll still go places and try not to let it affect my day to day, but you're still a lot more, you're paying attention a lot more than you used to.
I just feel like I waste the $20 on the ticket because I spend half the movie paying attention to people getting up and coming in. And yeah. So I'd rather watch at home. Plus my snacks are better. And I've got a personal bartender if I wanted a beverage or a soda.
Yep.
So it just makes it easier for me. There you go. Snacks are better at my house. Everybody come on over.
Come on over. All right.
We watch a lot of Disney movies, though. So welcome to a lot of Disney movies.
All right. Let's close it out with a mailbag question that came in from Annie. Annie asked, Brie, I want to put in a screened-in porch, but the only way I could pay for it would either be to take an extra $20,000 out of my IRA this year. And she put in parentheses, I'm already taking about $25,000 from my regular income. Or taking out a home equity loan to cover it. Which do you think is better?
Okay, hold on. So she wanted to take, she's already taking out money out of her IRA to supplement her lifestyle. And she's got a home equity or a home equity loan is what I'm hearing. Am I correct in that?
Yep.
Okay. Sorry. Always like to clarify. You guys ask real good questions, but sometimes super detailed. Okay. So I would think, and this is something we, you know, we'll want to talk about for a second, but what we want to see is, first of all, how much is the home equity loan? What interest are we talking about there? A. And then B. Would it be better to, or how bad are the taxes? What are the implications going to be of you taking money, additional money out of the IRA? Is it going to drop you? And is it going to raise your tax bracket? How much are you paying in taxes? where what are we doing there? There's a couple of different ways to look at this, because we don't, taking from the IRA, once it's out, it's out. Once we have paid the taxes, we're done. But we can't put the money back necessarily. This used to be a much, much easier question to ask when interest rates were lower, which is why nobody asked the question before. But now I'm getting this question all the time. And so it's everybody's situation is unique and different. So those are some of the things I would ask. I'd ask about what tax bracket you're in, how much income you're bringing in, and that type of thing. And we could kind of look at it and weigh the pros and the cons, because each one of them is going to have a pro and a con, and decide which one you would feel more comfortable with. But by goodness, the mosquitoes are huge here. So I fully understand a screen porch. I got bit twice just coming in the office this morning. So Annie, I support your screen porch. We just got to figure out how to pay for it.
Has the weather been mild this winter, like it has been a lot of places across the country for you guys, Bree?
Well, we didn't have our normal week long of ice storm, which was kind of nice. Yeah. I appreciated that one. We usually have about a week. Instead, we just had one day of ice. And I know exactly what day it was. It's MLK Day, because Nate was off from school and I was off from work anyway. So it worked out perfectly. And earlier this week, it was 85 or 90, Jeez. Which terrifies me for the summer.
Oh, man. Yeah. Not only that, but I've been thinking about that for bugs, too.
They're already out, and everybody's allergies are already. Last week, I couldn't talk at all. Thank God we didn't record this podcast last week. I had no voice because everything's blooming right now. I've got bulbs. I genuinely don't know if I need to plant them. If somebody knows something about planting bulbs, this is my first time doing it. I know nothing. Am I too late? Should I still plant? I don't know who to ask these questions to. I'm very lost because it looks like it's spring outside. But we're just right into March. Well, my family is not a family of like gardeners. If you can't tell, Tim and Julie Estes are not the people you call to ask when you plant your bulbs. So I am very, very lost on this new planting of the bulbs things and need all the help I can get, guys.
I was just thinking how crazy it's been that you came from a ski trip back to 90 degree weather, but here we are.
It has been. And you know what? We still have it dropped back down into the 40s the other morning. Yeah. So I had to pull my jacket back out. I'm just living out of all of them. In Texas, you just have all your clothes all the time.
Yeah. No question.
We don't have seasonal clothes. We just have all the clothes all the time.
That's life in Texas. All right, Bree, let's close it out on that note. I know this is an important conversation. Glad we had it, and hopefully this helps, even if it helps one person avoid getting scammed, it's well worth the time spent. But if you have any questions, want to follow up, want to get help, estesfinancial.net or 817-444-8402.
And those of you listening, go out and lead an abundant life.